So hello guys, welcome to episode 59 of the Switch Indie Fix podcast, a podcast dedicated to everything indie on the Nintendo Switch. As always, I am your host Adam, and this week we are going to be talking about all the recent indie game news, and I'm also going to be sharing my thoughts on a few indie games that I played recently. But before we do, if you've just joined the chat live or if you are listening at home, a gentle reminder that I do need your questions. If you have any Switch or Nintendo related or indie game related questions and would like them answered on the show, please make sure you type them in chat if you're on Twitch, or if you're listening at home, you can go to switchindiefix.com/switch SIF podcast and you can type in your questions there. And yeah, also if you are looking for a fun gaming community, why not join the Switch Indie Fix Discord server? Just head over to switchindiefix.com/discord to join. I know a lot of people will be wanting to play, not necessarily Switch games, but with the new console generation kicking in, if you're looking for communities to join in or to join in games with, indie game or not, you can also go to the Discord because everyone will be playing lots and lots of new games there, lots of new generation games there. But yeah, anyway, this isn't a podcast about the next generation. It is about this generation. It is about indie games. And this week, we have quite a lot of news to talk about. There is actually 5 new stories on the list this week, which of course is half a baker's dozen. And yeah, we might as well just get into it. This is a very kind of interesting story, the first one. And that is story number one, is that yes, Madeline is trans. So if you are a Celeste player, you will know who Madeline is. If you are not a Celeste player, you will probably still know who she is, but she is a character from the hit indie platformer game Celeste. And yeah, this article popped up last night in an absolutely amazing article. Celeste developer Maddie Forson describes how making the game Celeste helped her realize the truth about herself. I really don't want to butcher what she said in her article, so I'm just going to read like the opening paragraph of it, and I really suggest that you go and read it yourself. You can go to maddieforson.medium.com to read it yourself. And it starts off like this. Well, yeah, and the question is Madeline canonically trans? And then Maddie writes, well, yes, of course she is. This feels painfully obvious to a lot of most trans people, and likewise it feels painfully obvious to me too in retrospect. It has almost become painfully obvious to me that I myself am trans, but these are things that I was not aware of during the development of Celeste, where I was writing Madeline and speaking from her perspective. Creating Celeste with my friends helped me reach the point where I could realize this truth about myself. During Celeste's development, I did not know that Madeline or myself were trans. During the Farewell DLC development, I began to form a hunch. Post-development, I know now that we both are. And my gender identity still isn't all figured out by any means. The Celeste community has wanted clarification on Madeline's identity for a long time now, and I don't blame anyone for wanting that. But this messy realities of my gender identity and coming out have meant that I needed time before I could talk openly about it. So, okay, let's get into the weeds of it. And that's where I'm going to end the article there, because then Maddie goes into the next subtitle is, was Madeline's transness left intentionally vague in order to make her story more relatable to cis people? So it goes into like the full article about the the character development of Madeline, how she develops herself throughout the story. And obviously the story is about, I've not played Celeste, just as a kind of heads up, but I know that, you know, the story is about overcoming yourself and the kind of barriers you put in front of yourself. So I guess it kind of makes a lot of sense. Like I say, I think it's a very interesting article. I think it's very the more kind of variety we have in video games, I think is good. And I think it's nice that that Maddie has come out and clearly said that yes, Madeline is a trans character. The more variety we have, the more interesting games become. And it also puts a bit more perspective on her story and exactly why she's feeling like this, which I think in some ways is kind of a little bit sad, because I feel like a lot of people probably take a lot of different meanings out of games like this, where they obviously everyone has this struggle with themselves where they have to overcome something. And when it's a bit more vague, it leaves it open to more interpretation, that maybe that struggle that Madeline is going through is maybe some type of, like, I don't know, something more relatable to a specific person. And whereas now saying it is about trans is maybe then, it kind of narrows it down to this one specific problem. But I guess I don't know, I'm not trans myself, but I guess there are also different things that happen when you go through this period, and also like having to the bravery to kind of realize yourself that you are trans and that you do want to make this change, and that you are, you know, kind of stuck in a body which you don't really identify with. So yeah, I really suggest you go and read this article. Like I said, I've not played Celeste, but I really suggest you do play it. I'm getting my Xbox on Tuesday, hopefully, and it's on Game Pass right now. So if you have Game Pass on Xbox, you can play it there for free. If you have the subscription, that's where I'm going to play it. And yeah, great article, great story. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Maddie comes up with in the future with all of her new games. So story number two is Bug Fables. It gets a free update. So the Paper Mario-inspired Bug Fables has just updated to version 1.1. In the new version, the developers have added a number of scrumptious additions, and all you need to update your game, all you need to do to experience them is update your game. So if you already have the game, all of these updates are free. You just have to update to the latest version, 1.1, and they'll already be there. So yeah, the update is massive and adds some new ways to play the game and lots of little quality of life changes. Here are some of the biggest updates, and I mean it, like this update is huge. Like it's like, you know, a full A4 sheet of paper with bullet points of the update. So if you are a Bug Fables fan, I know the Gaming Contrarian is, and I'm sure he's probably already read it. But if you are a fan, I suggest you go and read it. I just kind of pulled out the biggest ones, which were a hard mode, a new reward for beating the final boss has been added. If you've already beaten the game, the reward should automatically be in your inventory the next time you load up the game. After you've beaten it, of course, and after you've updated the game. So if you've already beaten the boss, you will already get the reward. You don't have to play through the game again to get it. There's also been three new post-game side quests added. There are now save prompts after some chapters, which I think is probably because, you know, games, when they add chapters, they sometimes don't give you a chance to save. So you have to watch a cutscene, and then maybe you go into a battle, lose the battle, and then have to go back to the previous save, which was in the previous chapter. And then you know, you have to watch the cutscene again. So that's like a nice quality of life thing. They've also tweaked some text effects to make it more notable. So I guess there were some issues with people being able to actually see what was said. And I guess that's like an accessibility problem, which they fixed, so that's nice as well. Hopefully more people can actually enjoy the game through that. Yeah, there's been a ton of updates, so be sure to go read the patch notes yourself. They are on Nintendo Life, or they are on, I guess, on the game's website. Speaking of updates, story number three, Raji, an ancient epic, gets a well-needed update. Shown off in one of the Indie World presentations early this year, or I guess I think it's the only Indie World presentation we've had, actually. Raji, an ancient epic, seems to be the thing that was going to scratch the Prince of Persia fans' itch when it released on the Switch. So yeah, if you don't know it, it's like I think it's like an isometric angle looking Prince of Persia game based in Rajasthan in India. So it has, you know, these very like, I guess you would say, like, they look very Arabian-looking palaces with lots of colour and sand and stuff. Because, yeah, Rajasthan is, like, the desert area of India. That's why they kind of look very Arabian. And when it was first announced, I really wanted to check it out because I've actually been to Rajasthan. And I was a big fan of Prince of Persia as a kid, but never got around to playing it. And pretty much since then, I've not really heard much about it. Like, there was the initial wave of reviews. I think the reviews were middling. So I've not really heard much about it, which usually isn't a good sign for an indie game that was on the Indie World presentation. However, now there is a patch for the game that fixes a large number of issues that were reported to the team from player feedback. The devs also hope to add new optimization fixes to the game to improve the player experience. So a bit like Bug Fables, the update is quite extensive. So if you'd like to read the full patch, you can do so on the game's website. But again, here are some of the more notable updates. The first one is there are improvements to the game's performance in both handheld and docked mode. There are improved dynamic resolution percentage, resulting in better visuals, localization, bugs fixed, and better UI scaling. So again, this seems like they have basically made it better for the Switch itself, especially with the UI scaling, the performance, the new resolution. It just, I'm not even sure if the game came out on other consoles, but it kind of sounds like, you know, they had the game built on a different system and they just ported it over to Switch without really optimizing it for the Switch. So that this sounds like what this update is going to do. So if you are a Switch player, now might be the time to go and pick up Raji and Ancient Epic. I think it's also been on sale recently. So maybe with this update, they might be putting it on sale again. And yeah, and if you're a Prince of Persia fan, I think it's a game you'll definitely like. It does have very beautiful, a beautiful art style. And yeah, like I said, I've actually been to Rajasthan. So I'd kind of like to see a game based there because it's such an amazing part of India and has such a rich, deep culture. Like it's kind of one of the areas that is linked to like the story of Aladdin and stuff like that. So yeah, it's cool that there is a game based there. Moving on to story number four. We have Image and Form are making more SteamWorld games. Yes, I'm happy to hear this. So after being asked a question by a fan on Twitter, Image and Form confirmed that they are still making SteamWorld games and they are not ruling out sequels. They also said in the tweet that they would love to revisit earlier games in the series too. And yeah, I think this kind of comes from a fact that like the SteamWorld franchise has been releasing games pretty regularly for the last, I don't know, I'd say like 6 or 7 years. Yeah, like I think on the Switch already we've had two new ones. We've had SteamWorld Dig 2 and SteamWorld Quest. SteamWorld Dig 2 came out in 2017 and then Quest must have come out in, was it last year, in 19? I knew it came out around March. I can't remember if it was last year or yeah, it must have been last year. So yeah, so now would be the time for a new game to come out. Also, between then they've released Dig 1, Heist, and is there another one? Yeah, I think that's it, right, for the SteamWorld. Yeah, SteamWorld series. So all of the SteamWorld games are on the Switch. I think the worry is that the developer's next game is going to be The Gunk, which was showed off at one of Xbox's big events. It's going to be an Xbox exclusive, so it kind of really feels like this is like the next level for Image and Form. That they're like, they've gone from, you know, the 2D kind of platformer Metroidvania to now like this big 3D visually impressive looking game. And I guess fans are kind of worried that okay, if The Gunk is really successful and makes a lot of money on Xbox, will they bother going back and making smaller games like SteamWorld Dig? But yeah, you need not fear because they answered this on Twitter, and the CEO of Image and Form, Brian Sigurðsson, says that Nintendo is a natural part of Image and Form from SteamWorld plans since the series became popular on the Wii U, the 3DS, and is now really popular on the Switch. And I think I don't think we need to worry. Like Image and Form and Thunderful Publishing and kind of all of that Scandinavian wing of indie publishers is all kind of like, I don't know, they're kind of like gelling together to make like this massive conglomerate kind of thing, but still been very indie. Like I guess the business side is that, you know, they're stronger together, but they still all have these indie identities, which is really cool. Thunderful Publishing, they're one of my favorite publishers. They recently published I think it was, what's it called, Lonely Mountains Downhill. And they published all the SteamWorld games and all of the games like Zonk. I think they published all of their games. And they recently, there was another studio that recently signed up with them too, but I can't remember who it was. But I think it's just like another branch of them, of Image and Form. Like I said, it is them kind of revolutionizing and evolving into being, you know, from making smaller games to, like, I don't know how big The Gunk's going to be, but it looks like the next level. If it's exclusive on the Xbox, and I guess they still want to have games that they can put on the Switch and on the PS4, and the PS4 and the PS5. I don't think we need to worry. I think we're going to see more Steam games. But what I would really be interested in is wanting to know which Steam games you guys would like to see. So would you like to see a SteamWorld Dig 3? A Quest 2, or a Heist 2. I think the most likely is probably going to be Heist, because I think Heist is there a Heist 2? Let me Google it. SteamWorld Heist. I don't think there is, right? No, there's only the Ultimate Edition. Yeah, I can imagine them making a new heist game, because I guess like it's kind of like a tactical strategy RPG thing, and those are very popular again at the minute. So, yeah, I think a new heist 2 would be good. SteamWorld Dig 2 is one of my favorite games on the Switch. It's one of, I think, 3 games I've given 10 out of 10s to. No, 4 games now, because I gave Hades a 10. Yeah, so I think it was the first game I gave a 10 to on the site, because I just thought it was great. Like, yeah, such an improvement on the original game. It has great dungeons. It has great characters. It has a beautiful world. It just has ticked all of these boxes for me. And I think at the time there really wasn't that much on the Switch. So I think it just also, like, indie-wise, made kind of just stood up above the rest. So, yeah. If you are a SteamWorld fan, let me know, either in the chat or you can tweet me at SwitchIndieFix. And yeah, let me know what SteamWorld game you'd like to see next. Okay, and our final main story this week is number 5. And it is Hades is the most downloaded game in October. Yes, Nintendo has shared an updated list of the most downloaded Switch eShop games of the month across Europe, this time covering October 2020. This time around, an indie favorite has managed to secure the top spot. Yeah, it's even beat Super Mario 3D All-Stars to the punch this week, and that is the wonderful Hades, which also happened to be voted in the Nintendo Life eShop Game of the Month back in September. I'm taking this from Nintendo Life. Minecraft is also going strong just below them, with the rest of the list being made up of familiar names. So here is the top 15 list. Number 1 is Hades. Number 2 is Super Mario 3D All-Stars. Number 3, Minecraft. Number 4, Animal Crossing New Horizons. Number 5, FIFA 21. Oh, that's so sad to see. FIFA 21 Legacy Edition. Who is buying FIFA on the Switch, really? Like, who is buying it? Like, and if you are buying it, educate yourself what FIFA is, all right? Every year, they're just rehashing the same game with new skins, basically. Do not buy FIFA. If you're going to buy FIFA, buy it on the PlayStation or buy it on the Xbox. If you don't have an Xbox or PlayStation, I don't think you need to play FIFA on the Switch, honestly. Don't buy FIFA on the Switch. Next up, still going strong, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Then we have number 7, Pikmin 3 Deluxe, which I guess for a new, I'm doing it in air quotes if you're listening at home, a new Switch game isn't that high up. Like, it's okay, but you know, it's not that great. I think Pikmin, they've totally botched it. I don't know why they released Pikmin 3 now. Well, I mean, it's fine releasing it now, but they didn't really put any marketing behind it, really. So, yeah. And also, in 2 weeks, they're going to release the new Zelda game. So, yeah. I mean, I guess people are saving the money for the Zelda game, or they're saving the money for next gen. Again, we have a constant next, Stardew Valley, in the top 10. Then we have the Survivalist, which is pretty cool to see that game's doing well, in at least in its first month. It still has a lot of issues, but it's kind of like a guilty pleasure game for me, where I know it has a lot of issues and it annoys me like how bad some of the issues are, but I just love playing it. It's just such a cool game to just sit back and relax and just experiment with the monkey servants and what you can actually program them to do and if it all works. And it kind of feels like you're trying to like tape a smashed glass vase back together with sellotape, a sellotape is a very British name, but you know, with like glue tape or whatever you would call it, scotch tape, I guess that's also a brand, so maybe not everyone knows what that is, but yeah, with tape. And now I've lost my train of thought. Yeah, the programming, that's how the programming feels. But once you get it all taped back together and it works, you're like, okay, this is cool. This is like very good for me. It helps me out a lot. Next up, we have Pokemon Sword at number 10, which is interesting because Pokemon Shield isn't on this list. So I wonder why Sword is pushing more. Maybe there must be some exclusive Pokemon that people prefer, I guess. Then we have Minecraft Dungeons, which is kind of cool that it's also up there. 51 Worldwide Games. I think this is going to be like the sleeper hit of 2020. 51 Worldwide Games. Like, again, it's kind of helped by its situation where there wasn't really anything Nintendo was releasing earlier this year. But to say it's been out, I don't know, probably like 6 months and it's still in the top 15, that's pretty impressive. Then we have Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which is also cool to see that it's up there. I think it totally got eaten by Hades, though. Releasing the same day of Hades, it just had its lunch eaten, because in my opinion Hades is the superior game. Then again, we have the classic, the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I expect that sales of that to go up in this month, because people will be wanting to replay it. If they're just getting into the Switch and they buy the new Hyrule game, what's it called, Age of Calamity, then I can imagine the Legend of Zelda sales are going to get boosted after that. And then the last one, number 15, is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. So yeah, it's pretty impressive that Hades is still selling well, even in its second month of being on the Switch. Because I guess traditionally, normal indie games, or even like AAA games, I'd say they usually have about a window of a month where they sell well and then they drop off. And most games usually crash, and then that's when the sales come in. Hades did have a Halloween sale and a pre-order sale, or a launch sale, I think it was, both of minus 20%. So I'm sure that's definitely helped rack up numbers as well. But I think it's like a word of mouth marketing that has really kept this game up there. I still see people just buying it on the Switch on Twitter. Because they keep saying, like, you know, people have just been pestering them, saying, you'll love this game, try it out, you'll love this game, try it out. Even if you don't like this genre, if you don't like the roguelike genre, try it out, you're going to love it anyway. So I think that's definitely helped push its sales. Also, Supergiant have been doing a pretty good marketing campaign themselves, where they've been releasing, like, little devlogs and dev videos about how the game was made. There's a really good documentary on YouTube, on Noclip, about the game and how they took it from... basically through early access, from announcing it at the Game Awards in 2018 and releasing it there on the Epic Store to what it is now. I think there's still one more episode to come out, I think, which is going to talk about the Switch release. But definitely check that out. Yeah. And like I say, I'm also going to pest you, if you haven't got the game yet, I really highly suggest it. It's by far my game of the year so far. I mean, unless Age of Calamity is going to be amazing and absolutely blow my mind, which I don't think it will, it's definitely my game of the year, like, hands down. I've mostly played indie games this year, but there's still been a couple of big-ish AAA games that I'm playing, but now that I'm thinking about it, I'm actually like, no, I don't think there is. But I mean, I played like Animal Crossing as well this year. I'm going to try and get through some Xbox games when I get my Xbox. So yeah, but I still think there's nothing that's going to knock Hades off. It's such an amazing game. I played it on Thursday night on stream, managed to beat it again, which is, and it's just, I don't know, it's just such a good game. Like, really check it out if you haven't done so already. There's so much Hades content on Switch IndieFix. So if you are on the fence, we have another podcast that we recorded with Ben from Crossplayers. And I'm forgetting his name now. Jeff from Nindy Nation. We recorded like a We Heart Hades podcast. There's also so many videos on my YouTube. If you go to switchindiefix.com/YouTube, no, the other way around, youtube.com/switchindiefix, there's I think like 20 videos on there of me playing Hades on from stream. I also have an article on the website, which is called Hints and Tips for New Hades Players. So if you are new, definitely check that out too. It will help you get the ball rolling and get good kind of at the game. So yeah, if you are on the fence, check out our content. Once you see the game, I think you'll definitely love it. And moving on from the main news stories, we do have a few games of note, or new game of note. First up is Tropico 6 has just launched on the Switch. Sort of fittingly, this Dictator Simulator launched yesterday and includes the original game and all of the free updates it got previously on other consoles, as well as the Flamingo Pond accessory and a tourist outfit for El Presidente. If you don't know what Tropico 6 is, it is kind of a city builder where, yeah, you are playing as a dictator, as the game said, on an island, and you are kind of like, you can decide to be a good dictator or a bad dictator, either look after your people or treat them horribly, but it's all very tongue-in-cheek. So if you're looking for a city builder, and I don't know, you for whatever reason don't want to play Jurassic World, then yeah, Tropico 6 might be an option for you. Next up is the adorable cupcake brawler Cake Bash. Gets a November 19th release date. It's a four-person party game where you bash each other to crumbs. Haha, see what I did there. Yeah, honestly, this game looks great, and it's published by a company called CodeSync, which is from the same area of England where I'm from. So yeah, I think you should go and support this game to support them. They are also, I forgot to put it on the docket, but they're also releasing Fogs on the Switch on, I think, December 8th. And Fogs, if you've not seen it, it's like the sausage dog with two heads. And it's like, I think they have online multiplayer and couch co-op where each player controls one of the heads, and you have to kind of like maneuver around this map with like these silly physics and solve puzzles. Me and my friend Rob played Fogs at EGX 2 years ago. Yeah, it'd be 2 years. No, last year. Had a lot of fun. We can't wait to play it. I'm trying to convince him to get a Switch so we can play it on Switch, and then I can review it because he only has a PS4. But yeah, I'm a little bit worried about Cake Bash because I don't think it has any online component, and it is a couch co-op game where you're playing as as four people, and it's kind of like a brawler. So yeah, I mean, I don't really know, since the whole of Europe seems to be going into lockdown again, if people will have the opportunity to play couch co-op with friends in November. However, the game has been released on other consoles and did do well critically. So hopefully the game will do pretty well, because yeah, like I said, CodeSync is a publisher, like an indie publisher from close to where I live. Next up, the next game is Drawn to Life: Two Realms. Is a revitalization of the beloved franchise and a modern continuation of the series. It's going to launch on Nintendo Switch on December 7th. Then another game, which is a very unusual one, and I kind of got into a rabbit hole a little bit researching this story, is popular YouTuber Boris the Slav is getting his very own video game called Life of Boris Super Slav. The game will be published by Lithuanian company Sneaky Box, and players will get to meet his unique family, such as cousin Anatoly and Babushka, or his neighbor Vadim, and find out what it means to be cheeky breeky. Yeah, if you don't like, I've never heard of Boris the Slav, but his YouTube channel is kind of, yeah, it's funny. Like, it's kind of like, you know, like a guy playing a character, a bit like Dr. Disrespect does, and his channel is just all over the place. Like, he plays video games, he does like car reviews of like these really old like Soviet cars, he does like recipes, and makes these like really horrible looking recipes for really cheap, and it's very like tongue-in-cheek. And yeah, I'm hoping the guy is like Russian or Slavic, because if he's not, like, it might be a bit too edgy, you know, making fun of a whole culture by picking out like the worst bits of the culture and then making videos about it. Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, it's kind of weird, a weird game, and if you are a Boris the Slav fan, then it might be one you want to look out for on the Switch. Then next up, which was announced back in, was it 2 weeks ago in the showcase presentation, is deck building rogue like RPG Grifflands. I'm very hyped about this game, and it is coming to the Switch in 2021. Or I should say, I'm not hyped, I'm very excited about the game, because, you know, don't want people shouting at me for being hyped about something. In this broken down sci-fi world known as Harvaria, you'll need some sharp negotiating skills, as every decision you make matters, whether it's for jobs you take, the friends you make, or the cards you collect. Death will come quickly, but each session promises to offer new situations and strategies to explore. Personally, the reason I'm excited for Grifflands is because I feel like it is going to be the next Slay the Spire, but like elevate what Slay the Spire is and could be. Slay the Spire, like, it's a roguelike that is mechanically very, very good, and has like that great loop. But a lot of issues that I had with Slay the Spire is visually it looks dull and boring, and yeah, and it is really just a mechanics-based game, where there is no story. There was nothing really keeping me in the game. Like, I didn't like the loop or the mechanics enough to keep me playing. Like, we played it quite a lot on stream when we first started streaming, but yeah, it just wasn't enough to keep me entertained, and I wasn't good enough at it to make it entertaining on stream, so that's kind of why we pivoted away from it. But yeah, I think Grifflands is kind of like that next level, where it also has this card mechanic, which I think is also very good. Like, I've not played it myself, but I've watched Northern Light play it quite a lot, and he seemed to really like it, and he has like a palette for these kind of roguelike games, and especially card-based ones. And yeah, I think for me, it's like going to be that thing. It's like, okay, it has great combat, it has great mechanics, but it also has a story, it has a beautiful art style. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it coming out on next year alongside Control and No More Heroes. It was like definitely one of the biggest announcements for me from the partner presentation, which is honestly the best part, by far the best partner presentation we've had so far. And yeah, that has been our news section for this week. Like I said, a lot of cool looking games coming out. Like I say, I definitely think you should check out Fogs when it comes out in December if you have a friend to play it with. I'm sure there will be people picking it up in the Discord. So if you need someone to play with, you can join the Discord and ask there. Like I said, go to switchindiefix.com/Discord and join up. But let me know. Let me know which story you found the most interesting. Definitely, I think, is the Madeline story for me. But yeah, also, if you have played Bug Fables, let me know if you're excited for the new update, if that's enough to get you back into the game, if you never beat it, or if you did beat it, if it's enough to get you back in to try out the new content. Also, let me know if you played Radiant and Ancient Epic, because like I said, I feel like I've not heard much at all about this game, so I would be interested to see what people think about it and if you like it. And like I said, I am interested in playing it if it's good. So yeah, please do let me know. Also, I wanted to know what your next SteamWorld game would be if you could tell Image and Form right now, hey, I want you to make this game in the SteamWorld series. What would it be? Would it be a sequel to the previous games? Do you have a new idea for a SteamWorld game? What you think might be cool? Do let us know. And like I said, you can let us know by going to switchindiefix.com/Discord. And without further ado, with further ado, because I do just want to get up and close my window, so just bear with me 1 minute. Okay, I'm back. So, without further ado, we will move on to our second portion of the podcast, which, as always, is our conversation portion. And this week, I'm just going to kind of talk about some of the games that I have been playing. All of these games I actually streamed, so if you are listening to the podcast and you didn't know already, we do stream, or I do stream, every Thursday night on twitch.tv/switchindiefix. Keeping it very on brand, we always stream one or two indie games on the Switch. This week I played Bastion and Hades, which was kind of made like a super giant night. Bastion, yeah, it's been one of those games that's kind of been on my, giving me like a guilty conscience for a while, because I actually started playing it months ago, when I very first started streaming. I kind of was playing it in my free time and recording it as like a YouTube series. And I think we got probably like 75% through the game, but I just never had time to just sit down and play it and record it in that, like, since then. So the series has just been on YouTube, kind of like three quarters finished for ages. So I was like, okay, I want to get it finished, and I thought the best way to do that would be to play the end on stream, which we did. And I knew that I was close to the end, so I was kind of like, yeah, okay, if I'm near the end, then I need another game to play, so why not play Hades, because then we can make it like a super giant night. And then, we did play Hades, and like I said, I had a really good run. But yeah, Bastion, it's kind of interesting as well, finishing off Bastion and then playing Hades after it, because I think Hades... It's kind of like, I would say it as like Bastion's sequel in some ways. Like, I think the games are so similar that that Supergiant have kind of gone full circle on their development cycle. Like, when you watch the NoClip series, you kind of listen to them, and because they also have documentaries about Transistor and Pyre and then Hades, and also on Bastion, which I highly suggest you watch them all, because they're really intriguing stories and just give insight into how video games are made. But they kind of said that after the success of Bastion, they were a bit scared that they didn't want to just become known as the developers that made Bastion. That's why they kind of pivoted and did Transistor. And then pretty much every game has been different that they've released. And then I think Pyre was kind of them out reaching or overreaching a little bit, because I don't think Pi did as well as the other games did, both like kind of critically and in sales. And I think this is kind of shown that it's still stuck on Steam and PS4 and isn't on any other on the Switch yet, and not on Xbox, whereas all of the other games are, apart from Hades. But yeah, but it's just kind of like, you know, you play Bastion and you can see that, okay, this is the foundation for how Hades plays. Like, you look at the camera angle, you look at the artwork, you look at the coloring, you look at like just the combat mechanics as a whole. You look at the weapons, everything is just elevated from what Bastion is and is just perfected in Hades. And I think if they didn't go down the line of like Greek mythology and Hades, they could have made it a Bastion 2 and just, you know, had it as like the boy who is you know, now grown up and like this, like, you know, 20 something edgy guy who was, you know, like now is saving something else. Of course, that kind of depends on what your ending to Bastion was, which, yeah, I don't want to get into spoilers too much, but there are a few choices you have to make at the end of Bastion. Yeah, depending what your choice is, it kind of dictates whether or not the boy survives or not. But yeah, it's but yeah, Bastion in itself is a great game. It kind of put Supergiant on the map as like this great high quality indie game developer, and then kind of set them up to then become like their own publisher and go the ways that they have gone with all of their games. And it, yeah, like Hades, it has these core themes. It has the amazing art style. It has the amazing music. It has the great writing. It has the great narration. And yeah, like I said, it was just really interesting for me to play it and then play Hades straight afterwards. And just see how all of this just got elevated, you know. There was obviously in Hades, there's more voice acting, but the music is still great because it's the same composer. The art style is still great and like has been also like moved up a level because, you know, the team has gotten bigger and the skills of I think her name is Jen. I can't remember her second name now. Her art style has also become more pronounced now, and has also, I think, been kind of perfected in Hades. Sorry, I'm just looking up the team on. Here we go. So yeah, we have Gen Z is the artist, and Darren Cobb is the sound design and music and audio. The writing is done by Greg Kazavin. And yeah, Logan Cunningham is the narrator in Bastion and plays a lot of voices in Hades. And yeah, it's just both of them are great games. Like Bastion itself, the idea is that you wake up in this as a kid in this like disheveled world that has somehow been destroyed, and you are kind of coaxed into becoming like the hero and rebuilding the Bastion. And the Bastion is kind of like a part of the world that was, or like some type of like kind of organic machine that was built to reset time to put the world back in the state it was before like this huge event happened called, I think that's also called a calamity? I think it might be called a calamity as well, where the calamity happens. And yeah, and you play through the game, it's very kind of hack and slashy. There are so many weapons, like even till the last level, you're unlocking new weapons. Which, I don't know, is kind of not really something I liked, because you keep getting into like a phase of like, oh, okay, I like this weapon, so I want to take this weapon out for a spin. And then you get halfway through a level and unlock a weapon, which you have to take because the rest of the level is designed around that specific weapon. So if for whatever reason you don't want to take it or whatever, then you can't progress through the weapon. You can't progress through the level. So you have to take it, which then means most of the time, or most of the game, you're playing with weapons that you don't want to play with, which is a little bit frustrating. But other than that, yeah, it's a great game. I don't know, like I you can definitely tell it is aged. Like I think it came out in like 2000, and when did Bastion come out? I think, was it 2012? Let me see. Just Google it. 2011. Ah, so that's what I actually had in my head, 2011. Yeah, so it's definitely aged. Like, as well, comparing it to Hades, like, the character design looks a little bit weird for the boy. Like, he has these massive, massive, like, hands and, like, tiny body and huge head. And, yeah, like, it's definitely aged in that respect. But also some of the gameplay, like, the combat feels very slow and clanky. Hitboxes are a bit, like, hit or miss. Like, sometimes you feel like you've dodged something, but you will get hit by it anyway. And yeah, you kind of it's just a bit spammy. Like, you're just spamming buttons until your health gets low. Then you just spam the heal button, heal up again, keep spamming until eventually you kill all of the enemies or get killed yourself, and you have three lives to respawn. And when you respawn, all of the enemies that were attacking you die. So yeah, you know, if you come up against like a tough enemy, you just die, respawn, the enemy gets destroyed, and then you can just progress through the level. But yeah, nevertheless, I'm glad I'm finished it. It's been a game that's been on my backlog for a long, long time. I originally started playing it back on the Vita, and just never got around to finishing it there. So yeah, I'm glad that I finally finished it on the Switch. And yeah, the series will be going up on YouTube, so make sure you check out our YouTube at switchindiefix.com/YouTube, and you will be able to watch the whole series there when I get it all uploaded. And yeah, and Hades, like I said, it's just constantly good. Like, and the run I had on Thursday night was, I don't know, if you don't know, in Hades, when you beat the game the first time, you can then basically decide how difficult you want to make the game for you going forward. And the more difficult that you make it, the more rewards you get. Then the more rewards you get, you can put into your character that makes him better, or you can put it into your base that makes your base better, and ultimately makes the game easier. And it's kind of like that balance of like, okay, do I want to make it harder so that I can improve, or do I just want to keep playing it easy? Which is also kind of like a nice accessibility thing, because if you want, you can just put it on the basic mode where there is no modifiers that make the game harder, and you can just keep playing, finish the story, finish the game, it's fine, but then you won't upgrade your base. But if you do want to upgrade your base, you then have to then make the game harder for yourself. So, for me, I made the run relatively easy. Like, there are skulls, and normally I play on about 3 skulls, I think, but I just put it on 1, and it was the first time that I ever used the modifier that makes your health lower, which was kind of like, yeah, interesting, because it makes you lose, I think, about 20% of your health. And then I got in and I got a boon from, is he called Hemiphius, which then took away 60% of my health, but every hit gave me +2 healing. So it meant my health went down to about 40 HP, I think. But I could heal myself pretty much every room. And yeah, so eventually I kind of started off very weak, and I didn't really have that many good boons. And then just at one point, like, it clicked, and the game I just started snowballing. And it's really the first time in Hades where I'd say I've really snowballed. Like, I've been in a lot of other, roguelites where you just get good synergy, and then all of a sudden you're just so powerful. And yeah, and that's just kind of what happened on Thursday night. And it was just a great run. Like, I took out the sword and beat Hades and then progressed the story again, which is nice. So I'd say I think I've beaten him 5 times now. So I think I'm technically about halfway through the story, because I think you have to beat him 10 times to finish the story. But no, it was just so fun, because I hadn't played Hades for about a month, I think, the last time I played it. It must be about a month. And it was just nice to know that, like, you can just come in, my skills were still there, just get through it in like 40 minutes and then finish. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I might not have to pick it up again for another month, but it's just such a good game, and like, I really highly recommend it. And yeah, the run will be going up on YouTube, so make sure you check out the run on there if you are interested. And the final game we played recently was a game called Pumpkin Jack. It is a kind of like spooky Halloween themed game, and we played it on stream for Halloween of over 2 weeks. Did finish it again. All of the VODs will be up on YouTube, so if you want to watch me play it, you can do so there. Pumpkin Jack, it's a 3D platformer that is kind of inspired by platformers like Medieval and Jack and Daxter, but it is an indie game one. Yeah, it was a fun platformer. Like it was fine. I enjoyed it. It was weird though. The first stream I had, I thought it was really good. And then kind of like, yeah, got halfway through, and then after the second half, I thought was worse than the first half. But I think a lot of that was because, it basically just got repetitive. Like it had like three mechanics that just repeated itself over and over. Like the platforming was really good. Like I really loved the platforming. I really loved the world design, the level design, the character design. Like that part of the design was great. But then between the platforming, there was like puzzle elements, which I didn't really like at all. There was also like kind of like quick time events. Kind of like the first one is a minecart, which is obviously like very nostalgic of like the Donkey Kong games. And the first time you see it, you think, oh, this is really cool. But then they just use the same thing again and like just reskin it. So like there's, you do it on a minecart, and you do it on a horse, and then you do it on like another type of cart, and then you do it on a gargoyle, and I'm like, you know, all right. And it's also just not very precise. Like you're trying to dodge projectiles that are coming towards you, but you just can't really see them, and you can't really tell where you are in perspective to them. So there's times where you think, okay, I'm above this log in the way, and then all of a sudden you'll just get hit by the log, and you're like, okay, that's weird. So it just got a bit repetitive. Also the boss battles, like again, the boss designs were great, but the battles themselves were just kind of like, you know, cookie cut, like, okay, you have to do this thing three times and then you beat the boss, and it's like, okay, cool, I know what I have to do. Then the last boss battle was a little bit more interesting. Yeah, it was a little bit more interesting, and a little bit harder. But again, it was kind of like the actual boss fight design wasn't that great. Like the hardest part was that you had like a hole in the wall that you had to jump through, but you were on a platform where there was like holes on the platform. So if the hole lined up with an actual hole in the platform, you would jump and then just fall through the hole, kind of thing. So yeah, I guess that might have just been me being unlucky, like, you know. But yeah, like it's a fine game. I gave it a 6 out of 10 in my review, which again is up at switchindiefix.com. For whatever reason, I had like this big itch to play a 3D platformer, and I thought this game looked cool. Like it does look really cool, like the character designs and everything, and I think it was mostly made by one guy. It's not often that you see many 3D indie platformers. Like the only other ones I can really think of are like Super Lucky's Tale, the Woodle series, and A Hat in Time, and then also Ukulele, I guess. But yeah, there's not many that come out nowadays. And I think this Pumpkin Jack is like a fair effort to replicate that old school feeling. Like a lot of the mechanics, I'm like, I don't know if they were designed that way or if they were not designed, you know, like because of lack of design. But like the platforming feels clunky and you're not always sure where you're going to land. But I kind of like that because it reminded me of those old 3D platformers from the PS1 and PS2 and Nintendo 64. It's cool. Like if you are looking for like an old school platformer, which you can beat in about 6 hours, then I think you should try it out. It is relatively expensive, I think, for an indie game. I think it's at €25. For over 6 hour games, I don't know, there's other ones I would rather play. Like it's not the same genre, but like for example, another 6 hour game I would rather play, which is cheaper, is The Last Campfire. I would rather play that, or like Bastion, which is way cheaper if you get it on sale. I would rather play that. So it's not so much the price, it's more like the time cost. Is like, if I was going to play a 6 hour game, there are many other 6 hour games I would rather play. But if you specifically like 3D platformers, you want something spooky to play, like we've maybe missed our chance now with Halloween, but if you are still in that Halloween spirit and you want something spookier, like it's not scary, it's kind of like, you know, like Nightmare Before Christmas kind of spooky, quirky, then why not check out Pumpkin Jack? That's pretty much everything I've been playing. The only other game I've been playing is No More Heroes, which I don't think we're going to consider as indie, even though it has a very indie theme to it. Very interesting game. I'm about halfway through that. And then my plans next week are to, get into the Xbox a little bit and try out Game Pass and try out indie games on there. So if you have any suggestions for indie games that I should play on Game Pass, let me know, because there are a few on there that aren't on the Switch, and there are lots that I don't really know that much about. Again, if you want to give me suggestions, hit me up on Twitter at SwitchIndieFix, or you can join the Discord and let me know there. But otherwise, guys, I think that is the episode for this week. I hope you've enjoyed. Yeah, the episode is going to be going up as soon as I can get it up on all podcasting services after the stream is finished. It'll also go up on YouTube as a video there. Yeah, I'd like just like to remind you that wherever you do listen to the podcast, if you can, please give it a review, because that definitely helps new people find the podcast. Or, you know, if you could share it on your social media, that would also be great, just so your followers know that you liked it, so maybe they will like it if they're Switch fans or indie game fans. And before we go, I would like to thank our Patreons, our patrons, I should say. That is Benji Con, Daniel Ward, Demiurge MCK, some of them have changed. Yeah, my mum, my fiance, Kool-Aid Moonwalk, and RuneStorm for supporting the show. Actually, if you are a Patreon, I've paused the Patreon subscriptions right now, because I'm kind of like re-evaluating Patreon and if I want to use it going forward, because yeah, let's see. But yeah, what am I doing? Yeah, so if you do want to get in contact with me and talk to me about this week's podcast or about anything indie games, you can do so by going to Twitter or Instagram at SwitchIndieFix, or you can join the Discord server by going to switchindiefix.com/discord. I hope you guys have a great weekend gaming. If you are getting into the next generation stuff, I really hope you like whatever you get, Xbox or PlayStation 5. I think they are both equal in every way, and just let people play what they want to play. If someone gets an Xbox, just let them enjoy their Xbox. If someone gets a PS5 and you have an Xbox, let them enjoy their PS5. Okay? No more. There's no need for console wars. Also, yeah, if you're not getting next-gen stuff, I hope you enjoy what you are playing on the Switch. Do let me know by hitting me up on social media what you are playing, because on the Switch, I'm looking for something new to play. I don't really know what to play right now. Until Age of Calamity comes out, I want to beat No More Heroes. Then probably, yeah, we'll be getting into Age of Calamity. Then we'll be getting to around Christmas, there's not going to be many games releasing because of all the Xbox and PlayStation stuff, at least indie games. So let me know what you are playing. That would be great. Give me some suggestions. And last thing, you guys might remember that I am doing the marketing for a game called Red Colony. The game is coming to the Switch soonish. If you would like more information, you can go to @RedColonyGame on Twitter, follow us there. That would be great if you do, because yeah, it would mean a lot to me if you follow us. And yeah, the game is coming out soonish to Switch, so yeah, if you're interested, follow us there. But yeah, other than that, hope you guys have a great weekend and enjoy whatever you do, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.